Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks, at the Eric Metaxas Show. Albin, I'm going to play the role of Eric Metaxas if you don't mind. You just stick to playing the role of Albin because you still haven't gotten it down. Once you have mastered the role of Albin, you know, then you can play the role of Eric Metaxas. Is that fair?
That's fair. My twin brother seems to play me better than I do. So I'm just going to go with you as Eric, me as Albin, and see what happens.
Yeah, he's just a slightly better version of you than you are.
Just slightly. Just
20% maybe.
Just a wee bit.
Listen, I should always shut up, but today especially, because guess who's coming up next?
Oh, don't tell me Bill O'Reilly.
How did you know that?
I just guessed.
What, you just guessed? You just pulled it out of a hat? Bill O'Reilly is coming on to this program. The Bill O'Reilly, he's a big Irishman, all right? Mm. And I don't think he's a big drinker, but let's go with the stereotype. Let's pretend that he is. He's a brawler. He's a drinker. No, Bill O'Reilly, I got to tell you, I've admired him for years. Why?
Yeah.
He has his finger on the pulse of America like no one I have ever seen. It's amazing. It's amazing. We're talking about his book, his new book. He's got, you know, Killing JFK, this one is the 10th one, is Killing the Mob. Yeah. So we got Bill O'Reilly coming up in a few seconds. And after Bill, we're talking to our friend Dimas Salaberrios. He's a good friend. He's a minister and he's been working in Chicago trying to deal with the gang violence and the shootings. It is, folks, it's astonishing.
Yeah, yeah. If you heard Bob Mazakowski yesterday, and you should have, this is kind of like a follow-up to what Bob's doing in Chicago. So,
oh, absolutely. It is a follow-up. I mean, it's an important issue in America right now. How do we deal with this? And Dimas doesn't get political, which is nice for a change. I always get a little political. I'm kind of hot-headed that way. But the issue is that he's coming out with it. Well, he has a film. It's out in theaters right now. And I hope that people will check it out. But anyway, we got Bill O'Reilly coming up next. We've got a few things to talk about. Do we know who we're airing tomorrow?
I was thinking of Johnny Russo.
Have we not aired him yet?
We have not. And I've been holding him for the weekend because he's like, oh, my goodness.
We haven't aired Johnny Russo yet?
No, we had so many great guests. We had so many great guests this week, though. We just had a dynamite week, as always.
All right. Yeah. Tomorrow, folks, Johnny Russo. He is most famous for being in The Godfather. But his story, I mean, it is insane. It is insane. All I'll tell you is stay tuned. Now, I want to say this just for our audience so they know what's going on. We post all our videos, every one. And it's fun to see, hey, how's Eric's hair doing today? Where's Mike Lindell in the background? Yeah. What kind of hat is Albin wearing? You know, all that fun stuff that people tune in for. But
here's a hint. Okay.
Here's the reality of the program. We, because we've been politically contentious, YouTube has knocked us off their platform. And anytime we post anything ever so slightly truthful, especially truthful, like if we're talking about the election integrity. Yeah. I know we shouldn't bring that up. It's a free country. Can you imagine? I'm trying not to get angry, but the very idea that these guys at YouTube, whoever they are, they're troubled when you bring up whether the election was on the up and up. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know what that tells me? Yes, it tells me the election was not on the up and up. When they say, well, you can't talk about the vaccines, you can't talk about, you're going to tell me what to talk about? No, you're not. If you don't like it, we're going to post it on Rumble.
Yeah.
But here's the punchline.
Can I say something here real quick? When I was on the train.
Not before the punchline.
Oh, is there a punchline?
The punchline is you've got to go to our website, ericmetaxas.com. I'm asking you to sign up for the newsletter. I know I keep doing this. Folks, we're not monetizing this or anything. This is for you. The only way we can get these videos to you so you don't have to be looking around and wondering, when did he have on that controversial one or this controversial one? Rumble and YouTube, if you subscribe to both of them, that's great. But a lot of people don't. We try to make it simple and we try to deliver it to you in an email with everything teed up for you. Please, folks, you'll see when you get these, you'll thank me. But a lot of people haven't done it. And I'll even go a step further. Sign up your friends, sign up your relatives, because I don't think people will be sorry to get this. If they are, they can just unsubscribe very easily. But we need to increase the people that we're reaching with. Again, this is truth. I care about this stuff. This is not just about a radio program or a TV program. This is about communicating things that are vital. So please go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for that, please. Albin, please go ahead.
Okay, yeah, and you could subscribe your friends, and if they don't like it, they'll unsubscribe from the newsletter, and they'll probably unsubscribe you too, so get ready. But I wrote this in, I was coming on the train yesterday, of course, to the TBN studios. You'll have to see that on YouTube, by the way. But I wrote this down. I said, the Democrats are telling us that we are so positive that the election wasn't stolen that we're not even going to let you suggest that the election was stolen. You can't even suggest that. And that's why YouTube won't let us on, because we might suggest that we take a look, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, I was with Mike Lindell. He's standing right behind me in two-dimensional glory. Let's remind everybody, if you go to mystore.com to buy my books or anything, if you go to mypillow.com to get any of those glorious products, please do use the code ERIC, because I may have mentioned that we're being sued. We have legal expenses. And so we do need to up our income significantly. So if you don't use the code ERIC, the money goes to, I don't know, Fox News or whoever it is. Yeah. So please use the code ERIC. But I want to say, when I was with Mike Lindell the other day, when you let him just talk, he gets into the weeds of what happened. And I realized the message is not getting out. Mike is not the most effective communicator. He's very effective. But you realize that this is such hard stuff to get out that I want to tell people, again, go to Frank's speech. My speech, I don't think, is up there yet. But we need to get that. Albin, make a note of that when we're done here, we can figure out how to get that. But I spoke the other night. I sang a couple of hee-haw songs. Oh, yeah, I did, with the audience. And I just want people to know that Mike Lindell is the real deal. I spent so much time with him that you kind of get to see where he's coming from. He's doing so much as one man that I'm in awe of what he's doing. The man is just a hero. He's a hero. And so please support him by going to mypillow.com and mystore.com. Use the code ERIC. And he now has a legal offense fund, not a legal defense fund, a legal offense fund, if you want to help him, because he's going on the offense, suing the people that, need to be pushed back and who are suing folks like me and Mike Lindell. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? Am I making this up? No.
The thing is, he has such a pleasant personality. After everything, he's attacked from left, right, and center, and he still has this pleasant personality about him.
Well, his personality. I mean, the man has been through stuff. If you've read his book, oh my gosh, you cannot believe the book. You cannot believe his story. It is just you. It's not made up, but it reads like the craziest thriller you've ever read. It's insane. Yeah. And by the way, that's available $9.99 at mypillow.com. No shipping costs or whatever. It's, he's trying to just to get the story out so people understand where he's coming from. All right. Listen, we're going to go to Bill O'Reilly. I want to also remind people our sponsor, Nutramedics. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC. You get 20%. Their stuff is super high quality. That is a fact. But beyond that, they give 50% of their profits to missions, to global charities, the kind I think that most people listening to this program would be thrilled. They're a great organization. Go to Nutramedics.com. They've got everything there. I'm taking all kinds of stuff. I get it from Nutramedics.com. Use the code Eric, and we'll be right back with the Bill O'Reilly. Really? Yes. Really.
Yes.
Nice to know somebody loves me. Funny, but it seems that it's the only thing to do. Run and find the one who loves me.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out.
Folks, if you've listened to this program, you'll notice that I use the term folks. Where did I get that from? I'm not sure, except 80% of it comes from the fact that I'm a huge fan of Bill O'Reilly for many years. It's my privilege to have him back on this program. Bill O'Reilly, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Thanks for having me, Eric. How are you?
I'm fine, and I always get excited talking to you because you have your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the culture, and you keep coming out with these amazing books. The new one is called Killing the Mob, The Fight Against Organized Crime in America. I just have to say, how do you choose these, Bill? Because this one, this is a huge story. This is a big American story.
Well, this is a 10th killing book, Eric, and if you read them all, you'll know about your country from the beginning of the revolution to the modern day, to today. And Killing the Mob fills in the blank after World War II, when organized crime became the most powerful entity in the United States, more powerful in Congress, more powerful in incorporation. Organized crime controlled unions, controlled the movie business, the record business, the restaurant business, you name it. They controlled it. And I don't think most Americans are aware of that.
You're
and they
right.
weren't aware of it yeah. when we were living through it in the 50s and 60s. Nobody really knew because the FBI didn't investigate, the media didn't cover it. So this was an open field for Martin Dugard and I. He's my co-author. And I think we provide you with an amazing amount of information beginning in the Depression with the bank robbers, John Dillinger, Bonnie and Clyde, Babyface Nelson, then going to Al Capone, then going to the modern-day Italian mafia. What happened, why it happened, no anonymous sources, all names are named, and we sold 125,000 copies the first week out, Eric. So The book is doing very well.
Well, I'm glad. I'm not surprised. It was only recently that I came to see the breadth of organized crime in the 20th century. I was interviewing Johnny Russo. He played Carlo in The Godfather, and he has big ties going back to when he was a kid working for Frank Costello and getting to know all of these people. And when he tells this story, I just have to say, I'm agog at what he talks about. The idea that they were in bed with politicians, they had blackmailed people, and they were able effectively to fix elections through the unions. And he talks, I don't know if you get into this in Killing JFK or in this book, but about how the Kennedys were involved in the Marilyn Monroe killing. It's just a staggering level of filth and corruption.
Yes. Mr. Russo is a very flamboyant guy. I wouldn't take what he says to the bank. He repeats a lot of innuendo and a lot of speculation, although he does have firsthand knowledge. He knew the world. But what we've done in Killing the Mob is separated the myths and, you know, the Godfather movie and the novel and The Sopranos, separated that myth from really what happened. And there are more than enough factual horrors generated by the mob. You don't have to you don't have to go into the speculative category.
Right,
enough crazy stuff. I mean, the mob fixed the two most famous heavyweight fights in history, Sonny Liston versus Cassius Clay 1, Sonny Liston versus Muhammad Ali 2. Those fights are fixed.
I did not know. Tell us about that. So we're talking 1960?
Yeah. Sonny Liston, world heavyweight champ, fierce guy. Cassius Clay, who was known back then, Olympic champion. Liston, 7-1 favorite. They fight in Miami. And Liston doesn't answer the bell for the fifth round. Well, what people didn't know was that the mob put millions and millions of dollars on Clay at the last minute and in Vegas and didn't want to do it before then because they didn't want the odds to change.
Whoa.
And cleaned up big time. And then there was a rematch. It was supposed to be in a Boston Garden, but the Massachusetts Boxing Commission wouldn't license the fight because it knew that big-time mobsters were running Sonny Liston. So that fight was held in Maine in a little backwater in a college hockey rink. If you can imagine this.
You're kidding me. The Liston-Muhammad Ali fight was someplace in Maine? I cannot believe this.
Lewiston, Maine.
Wow.
Lewiston, Maine. And Muhammad Ali had changed his name to then. Knocked him out in the first round. And when Ali went back to his corner, he looked at his corner guy, Drew Mundaney Brown. He goes, did I hit him? Liston just went down. And the mob, again, cleaned up because Liston was a favorite in the second fight. So anyway, we document the whole thing, Eric. Names, what happened, why it happened. And, you know, it's an amazing, amazing story. That was the level of corruption in the early 1960s that was in place.
It is astonishing, and it's grievous, really, to think about just how foul some of these things are. I mean, the idea, you know, Muhammad Ali was such a hero, such a great boxer. You think he didn't need to rise to the top through this. Do you suppose that he knew that either of these fights was fixed?
No. All the evidence shows that Ali and Ali's camp didn't know anything about this. They were as befuddled as everybody else. And I'm glad you asked that question because you don't want to guilt by association. But the corruption that the mob brought, I mean, Sam Giancana, the godfather of Chicago, was friends with Joseph Kennedy.
You bet.
The patriarch of the Kennedy family. Well, Giancana made damn sure that Illinois went for JFK
in
1960.
Yeah.
And that was enough, along with West Virginia, to get JFK to defeat Richard Nixon. And that's a fact. And so when JFK took the presidency, the mob was so happy, it thought, wow, now we got, you know, juice in the White House. Well, little did they know that JFK appointed his brother, Bobby Kennedy, attorney general, and Bobby Kennedy went after the mob with a ferocity because nobody at the federal level had ever done that before.
Well, it's a fascinating thing. I don't know what I was watching recently where I got the impression. I mean, first of all, you have to talk about Joseph Kennedy, the patriarch. He was as dirty as they come. And it's an extraordinary thing. It is right out of The Godfather. We're going to go legitimate. You know, I want my son to be a U.S. senator. The idea that somebody who was awash in criminal context and who was a criminal himself, you know, becomes the ambassador to the court of St. James. His son becomes the president of the United States. It's astonishing and sickening kind of story at the heart of America in the 20th century.
Joseph Kennedy wasn't a criminal. He had friends who were. He dealt in that world. And he provided a tremendous amount of money to his family through dubious enterprises. Uh-huh. But he wasn't part of the mob, but he had influence there. And he did not want his son, Bobby Kennedy, to investigate organized crime. That was a source of friction. And I talked to Bobby Kennedy Jr. a lot about it. And it's in the book that Robert Kennedy Sr., Bobby's father, he didn't like his father all that much.
See, that's...
It was some resentment there.
I just learned that very recently. I don't know if I was watching a Frank Sinatra documentary. I can't remember where I picked it up. But I was astonished to see that Bobby Kennedy was not on the same page as his brother Jack. And that when he got appointed, he just decided to, in a sense, go rogue. I don't get the impression that JFK was behind what he was doing. JFK had promised effectively, and Joseph had promised to be hands off on the mob, and that's how they got him elected through Chicago.
Well, JFK didn't have anything to say about it because by that time, J. Edgar Hoover had told President Kennedy that his mistress, Judith Exner, was also the mistress of Sam Giancana.
Right.
And so that was all kept very quiet, obviously, and the press wouldn't have reported it anyway, even if they knew it. But JFK basically just stepped back. He didn't have much to do. He wasn't going to tell Bobby to knock it off. He never did that, as far as we can tell. But he just basically stayed out of it. But Bobby Kennedy was able to expose the mafia, particularly Jimmy Hoffa, and the union connection. And after that, the federal government was much more aggressive because J. Edgar Hoover was also compromised by organized crime. They had stuff on him.
Yeah.
Martin Ugard and I were not able to find out exactly what it was, but everybody knew that Hoover liked the ponies. He was a gambler, and everybody knew he was gay.
Yeah, he was a cross-dresser.
One of those two things.
They had photos of... Folks, I'm talking to Bill O'Reilly, the new book, 10th in the series. Wow. Killing the Mob, the Fight Against Organized Crime in America. We'll be right back.
Our love is a flame, burning within. Now and then, firelight will catch us stumbling in.
Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their health care, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true health care, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110.
Folks, you're listening to the Eric Metaxas Show. And I'm talking to Bill O'Reilly, new book, Killing the Mob, The Fight Against Organized Crime in America. Bill, it's fun to talk to you because I know I'm going to get the straight facts no matter what I bring up. And it's always the kind of comforting to talk to somebody who actually knows. So you don't think that there is sufficient evidence to say that the Kennedys were involved in the death of Marilyn Monroe? You're not saying either way, I guess.
No, we say they were not. There is no conclusive proof. And in Killing Kennedy, in my book, Killing Kennedy, Dugard and I really went over all the flight records of the Kennedy brothers. We could not place them in Southern California. That's how we do our investigation, Eric.
Yep.
Okay, so we went actually to the flight logs, private flights into California around the time of Marilyn Monroe's death. And we could not find any evidence that either Kennedy brother was there or had anything to do with it.
And what about the killing of Kennedy himself? Since I didn't read your book on that, I mean, I have no idea what I think anymore. But
Read Killing Kennedy. That's what you got to do this weekend, Eric.
Is that right?
That is the definitive book, okay? That's what happened. Now, a lot of people ask me in my interviews for Killing the Mob, did the mob have anything to do with the
JFK? Yeah, that's my next question.
Okay. So that's a good question, because the mob hated the Kennedys once Bobby started to knock them down. And they wanted to assassinate both Kennedy brothers. But they knew, and when I say they, we're talking about a very few, what they call godfathers, who make the decisions, all right, in New York and Chicago primarily. They knew that if they assassinated JFK or RFK, they would get out, and that would be the end of criminal enterprise at that level, because the federal government would declare war, literally.
Well, if they knew that they had done it.
Families. But it would get out. You can't keep something like that locked down. I mean, they are the experts at assassination, but people talk. And if that were a driving narrative, the government would have found out about it, and that would have been the end. So that's why there was no mob hit. What there was, though, and this I think your audience will find very fascinating, is that Jack Ruby, a low-level mafioso who owned strip clubs in Dallas, he killed Lee Harvey Oswald, the assassin of JFK. Mm. You remember that?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, so Ruby somehow got into a heavily secured courthouse with a gun and got 10 feet from Oswald and shot him dead. That's almost impossible. So it was surmised that Jack Ruby did this for a reason. Now, what the press printed was, well, he was so upset, he loved JFK so much. That's bull.
Yeah.
All right? Jack Ruby was a low-level thug who was dying of cancer, he had a month to live, and the mob contracted with him to kill Oswald. Next question. Why? Because Oswald was telling people, and we have this on tape, that he was a quote-unquote patsy. Remember that?
Yeah.
I'm a patsy.
Yeah.
He was telling the press. And Carlos Mocello, the godfather of New Orleans, believed that Oswald, who spent time in New Orleans, was going to accuse him, Marcello, of being behind the assassination.
Right.
And that's why Ruby took out Harvey Oswald.
Wow.
Isn't that fascinating?
I got to tell you, it is at least fascinating. When we talk about the mob being involved in the 1960 election, I have to ask you, I have no idea what you think about this, but I have been furious at the election we just had some months ago, because I don't believe it was it broke in Biden's favor. I think it's much more complicated, and everyone is being told, and this is to me the hint, everyone's told, oh, you can't talk about that. Shut up. When somebody tells me to shut up, I know I should keep talking. Do you have anything on that that you'd be willing to share?
Well, I do a daily broadcast on BillO'Reilly.com. It's syndicated out by the First TV, and it reaches millions of people. And, of course, that is a very hot topic of conversation. Was the election fraudulent, as President Trump asserts? All I can tell you is that we studied the Attorney General, William Barr, very, very closely in all his pronouncements and what he did in the 2 months before Joe Biden was inaugurated and Barr He left earlier than that. You'll remember that Barr resigned just before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
What Barr said, and I believe this to be true, Eric, was that there was corruption in certain precincts, Philadelphia, Detroit, Milwaukee. But it wasn't enough. They didn't have enough proof to assert that the election would have turned out differently, popular or electoral vote. That's William Barr's assessment. Now, I think Barr is a fairly honest guy, so I have to go with that at this point. But I'm open to any kind of evidence that comes forth. I think that the big lie that they are parading around is propaganda. I think that the election, there was a lot of dubious things that took place.
Well, listen, the machines, that's of course, what you would need to flip the whole election. And Mike Lindell has done a number of interviews, and I just challenge anybody to say it's baloney, because he gets into details, details, details.
But here's what's going to be fascinating, all right? Lindell is now involved in lawsuits at the highest level.
Sure.
So he's going to have the ability to ask these people under oath in discovery about what he's asserting. That is going to happen if these lawsuits go forward. So let's see.
There you go. We'll leave it at that. Bill O'Reilly, just a joy to speak with you. God bless you. Congratulations on the new book, Killing the Mob. Thank you. Hey there, folks. I have another guest today. His name is Demas Salaberrios or something like that. It's a Greek name. Demas, welcome back. How do you pronounce your last name? I never get it.
Oh, well, that's a tough. If you want to put
question.
A little Latin swing on it,
yeah.
It could be Salaberrios, but everyone used to say Salaberrios. Even I say Salaberrios.
But what kind of a name is that?
Family's from Puerto Rico. But
Salaberrios.
Yes.
Something like that.
But Demas is definitely Greek background.
Yeah.
Greek.
Well, you look Greek. We're Greek. We look like each other.
We're both, you know.
I've known you for a while. You're a minister. You're a man of God. You're a family man. But you go where you hear gunshots. You go to the gunshots. You've been in Chicago for a long time dealing with that situation. We just had my friend Bob Mazakowski on here. I don't know if Bob, but I mean, he's in the inner city there. He's got a Christian high school, but you do other stuff. How do we describe what you're doing? Cause there's a film out and that's why you're on today.
Yes.
Today, folks, it's called Chicago, America's Hidden War, a documentary about the violence in Chicago. So, how are you affiliated with this documentary, Chicago, America's Hidden War?
Well, Eric, I went down there and I was just tired of all the killings. I mean, 77,000 people have been shot in Chicago since the start of the Iraqi war. I mean, that is 77,000
shootings.
Shootings. Here on America, people, 77,000 people shot, not just shootings. People actually hit with bullets since 2001. I mean, when I found that out, that that's happened on American soil, as a believer, I said, I have to be there. There's no place other than there that we should be trying to make an impact. Because you remember New York City when we led in homicides in New York, you know, the morgues were overflowing with bodies to the point. I remember going to the hospital, you'd see bodies lined up of teenagers during that time. And I just went out there initially to say, what could we do to help out? And then that grew to this amazing movie that made the Oscar list this year. So that was incredibly humbling. I think I lost my voice screaming and hollering with my family that a picture that I directed as a first-time director.
Wait a minute. I didn't pick that up. You directed it.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What, Albin? hey, if my friend Demas could direct a film, someday I'm going to direct a film. Seriously, Demas, that's amazing.
Thank you, man. That's a big deal.
I did not get that memo that you directed. I knew you were very involved, but I did not know you directed it.
Because the last movie we did when we came on was Emmanuel, and that was when we were dealing with the church shootings. And so I produced that one, and I was just arm in arm with Brian Ivey and just learned all the tricks of the trade, and I studied extremely hard and made some unique changes, and this one has gone far. It's going nationwide into theaters.
So, Chicago, America's Hidden War. I always want to ask before we get into anything substantive, how can people see this? Is this available to stream? Can they get it on?
No, right now it's in theaters. It's in theaters across the nation.
Right.
They could just go to Fandango in their area.
Fandango.
There you go.
You're thinking like Mandingo or something like that, right? Fandango. Does Fandango still exist?
Are there still theaters in America? Oh, yeah.
Actual theaters with seats and stuff?
I've been to theaters at least four or five times.
Yeah.
We just did a premiere in L.A. Some of the celebrities were a little scared to come, and some came, which was nice. But we had the full red carpet event. And
you had celebrities coming to a red carpet event from a film you directed, my friend? That's big stuff.
Yeah.
That's big stuff.
And New York came. Dallas came. Many of your friends flew out. So,
all right.
So it was amazing.
Wow.
But we knew you had the ball and chain. You had to work this show.
Yeah, the ball and chain. No, but seriously, you it's on your heart because you know, and I was talking to Bob Mazzucchelli about this, when you actually are in it, it's hard to believe that we're allowing this in America, that somehow we cannot do something.
Yeah.
So why did you decide to make a movie about it? And again, it's called Chicago, America's Hidden War.
Well, first I went down there and I worked really hard to see what groups would work with me, you know, to fight against all these shootings. And then very quickly, I started doing media outlets. I think I even came on this show talking about Chicago and many others. But some people were like, look, you know, so bad we can't cover it all the time because they shoot all the time.
Yeah.
So I said, well, maybe if I go out there and I don't eat and start to drop in weight to the point that I'm sick, that maybe the world will cover it. Guess what? They didn't cover it. I did a 40-day without food, just drinking water. Ended up being rushed to the hospital at one point.
Why?
And that's I looked at many things that many others have done throughout the years. I looked at, you know, the hunger strike that happened in Ireland when they were fighting against the injustice there. I looked at Gandhi. I thought of Jesus and Moses and countless others.
This is a huge thing that you did that. I remember when you were doing that. I don't know what I was in the middle of something crazy at that time, but I couldn't believe what I was reading, that you were doing a 40-day fast to bring attention to this. You were always a thin guy.
Yeah.
So I don't think thin guys should go on 40-day fast. But all my friends who are thin who go on 40-day fast, I'm thinking, I don't know how you do it.
I dropped 35 pounds, and God's grace was with us. But I'll just say this. I will fast. It's not a joy. I fast because of the scriptures. But, you know, a long fast is something I don't always look forward to.
Yeah.
But I did it for the people in Chicago is what I was hoping.
Well, so what do you see at the heart of the issue? Because a lot of times people try to put Band-Aids on this and they say things like, oh, we need gun control. How many registered handguns are used in these shootings? Like almost zero. If you talk to cops, all the guns are unregistered. So it's not that problem. It can't be that problem, or at least it's way more complicated, because the idea that, like, hey, we need to have less guns. Well, all those guns are illegal to begin with, so it's a deeper problem.
It makes me think. I mean, you bring up this is not a gun movie. You know, I just want to let people know that. It's not really about guns. Guns are spoken of maybe for 1 minute or two in the film, other than, you know, victims and people that are shot. I think the bigger issue is a forgiveness problem.
Okay, boom. That's, in show business, we call this a cliffhanger. Don't go away. Give a little bit
Hey there, gang. Alvin and I are just here to interrupt to remind you that we're in charge, okay? Not the guests. We're in charge.
Yeah.
Actually, it would probably be better if the guests were in charge, but technically it's our responsibility to be in charge of the program because you're the producer, I'm the host. So we're just going to say we're in charge. Now, listen, Demas, we were just talking to him. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation with him about his new film. He directed the film. I can't believe my friend directed this film. It's about the violence in Chicago and what we can do about it and how the churches should be involved.
We need
to be involved, ladies and gentlemen. The churches need to be involved. Don't look at the government. I mean, Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, couldn't be more hopeless. Could not be more hopeless. It's just a pathetic situation. You know how she got elected? They didn't even go by majority. She got like 12% of the vote, but nobody else got 12%. So that's how this person is leading the most violent city in the West. It's just crazy. It's just crazy.
Yeah, but so anyway. Just so people know, Chicago, America's Hidden War, is right now it's in theaters. So you got to go see
Chicago, it. America's Hidden War. Thank you. Chicago, America's Hidden War.
Won all kind of awards.
I should say that... I'm going to be speaking next week in Greenville, South Carolina. After that, I'm going, where am I going? I'm going to Dallas. I'm going to be speaking in Maine. Some of you know Pastor Ken Graves in Bangor, Maine. We're looking at dates for me to figure out how to come to Bangor, Maine. I cannot wait to do that. And there's a church in Plymouth, Massachusetts that I'm going to be speaking in. I just look forward to this. It's such a joy to get to talk to folks. And we try to post most of these videos up in case you're wondering where you can find them. Actually, it's a good time for me to remind everybody, if you go to ericmetaxas.com, that's my name. Don't wear it out. ericmetaxas.com. And you sign up for the newsletter. All these videos and everything, we post it all there. We post photographs. We tell you where I'm speaking, because so many people say to me, if I would have known you were going to be in Dallas, I would have come to the, well, I put it out on my newsletter because I want you to come, but I can't force you to subscribe to the newsletter, but I'm going to try. Doggone it. I'm going to try. Alvin, are we forgetting anything?
I don't think so, except for Nutramedics. I just got a big box of Nutramedics using the code ERIC for 20% off. Yeah. Can't wait to get into that. My wife and I have just ordered a bunch of product from Nutramedics. Oh, man, their story. You're going to interview this guy, by the way. Next week, we're going to have his interview on.
Yeah, actually, that's going to be very important. We need to air that more than once because I want people to know who we're dealing with. I keep saying this, that where you spend your money needs to be with a place, if possible, that shares your values. So I will never buy another Coke product again. I will never buy a Nike shoe again. I mean, I've paid hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars to these companies in the past, no more. And I'm telling everyone I know, you need to be responsible with your money. It's like you're a steward. God has given you a certain amount of money. It's a lot of money that we have in America that we spend every year. Where are you spending it? What are you doing with it? Are you buying your coffee at Starbucks or are you going to Honor Bound coffee that Albin and I drink? Honor Bound coffee is so strong. My hair, it was thinning. It's like I'm a porcupine. Honor Bound coffee regrows hair.
I know. And if you have hair,
proven in lab tests.
If you have hair, it takes it away again because it's so strong.
Really? Yeah. So yeah, lose hair, grow hair. What's the difference?
Whatever.
The Honor Bound coffee tastes amazing. But actually, we didn't get it for a couple of weeks and we suffered and we realized, you know what? It really is the best coffee. Like, it's the best stinking coffee I have ever drunk. Did you know that it's drunk and not drank? Yes, it's drunk.
I did not know that.
It's the best stinking coffee I've ever drunk. Honor Bound coffee. Honor Bound coffee. It is. But remember, folks, how you spend your money. So mypillow.com, mystore.com, Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC. And we'll be back with Demas.